The Legally Brief podcast is produced by the law offices of Judy Saunders. Legally Brief is a biweekly show that offers opinions and conversations with experts on why abuse exists, what the law is doing about it, and ways survivors can reclaim their lives. If you stop right this second to rate and review this show on your listening platform, you will do your part in spreading Legally Brief's mission of creating a world where children can play, gather, and learn free of abuse from authority figures and institutions. And now your host, Judy Saunders.
This episode is dedicated to South Korean triathlete Choi Soo-Kyun. And I sincerely hope that I am using the best pronunciation of her name. I've practiced it. I am dedicating this episode to this young lady because what happened to her and her death, which I would really add is more of a violent loss of life, a horrible, horrible travesty. I don't even like to use the word travesty because I think that word is too commonly used in our culture, and it doesn't really capture what was done to this life. So we here on Legally Brief, we are dedicating this episode because her life, her strength, and what was done to her by her coaches, by the team doctors in South Korea, by the world of sports, epitomizes what this show and what anyone that's aware, supportive of young athletes, what we're fighting against. Very briefly, Choi Soo-Kyun, at 22 years old, was found dead in her team dorm last month. And this has been reported, and I'm reading the reports from the Washington Post, and it was also reported in the New York Times. The reports we learn go on to say that this athlete had been complaining about the abuse, the beatings, the humiliation, the shame that she had suffered for years by this team doctor who we find out is not actually a medical doctor. And also by teammates were also abusing this young lady. Her death at this point has been ruled a suicide, but it brings to light something that we at Legally Brief know to be the hyper-competitive sports world that youth enter into, the training, the regiment, the isolation by way of once these children that are talented, gifted, and willing to work, they are often placed into isolating settings such as this athlete. She lived in a dorm, which was common. We also see settings where young, talented athletes are homeschooled. They still live at home, but they spend the entire day. They don't go to outside school, public or private schools. They're homeschooled at the gym, which creates also another closed and isolated setting if there's abuse. We find out that this athlete, she was a rising star. I think that it's my understanding that from the time she was 5 years old, she had been groomed to be competitive. She had produced for the country of South Korea. So what we see is that her life, her talents were taken over, and that she lost agency and control through the abuse and suffered so much that as of right now, I don't know if the investigation is ongoing, if it will be ruled a homicide, but as of right now, it's being ruled a suicide. Her mother and her parents have released some of these tape recording audio tapes and also diaries that really depict and describe the physical and psychological abuse. In one recording, it's reported by the New York Times that the team doctor could be heard repeatedly hitting Miss Choi. And this quote unquote team doctor is screaming at her, lock your jaw, come here. And then the reports are that you hear a series of striking thuds. So she's being hit in these recordings. She also left diary entries cataloging the abuse. And here's the thing about it. She did outcry. She did go and complain. These, for whatever reason, there was no action. Now, we know there's no action because of there's threats of retaliation. There's the belief that these methods are acceptable and will produce strong athletes able to endure and withstand. But we know that the data, the research, and the personal accounts of the survivors do not bear out that this is the way that you produce results for a competitive team, for a rec team, in elite sports, and on the Olympic stage. What you find instead is that an example, once again, of how the psychological abuse, and in this case, coupled with the physical abuse, it robs lives. It actually took her physical life. But you have cases and you have instances where these unacceptable practices are leaving the individual alive, but leaving such severe, deep wounds on young men and young women that years, decades, they are still struggling with that. So I wanted to talk to you specifically about the psychological abuse that this young lady suffered, but then narrowing in on one of the tools that was used in Ms. Choi's case and that we see being used not only in South Korea, but across the stages, across in the fields and in the gyms here in our own country. And that tool is shame. It is the words, it's the acts, it's the deeds of the coaches. It's the spoken and unspoken exhibitions of shame in an attempt to find results, to get results out of athletes. And shame is used, it looks like, and it appears in many different ways. One of the other tool that comes right behind shame, and I'll loop back and we'll talk a little bit about how shame will appear in these different settings, is then to use a technique that we know now to be called gaslighting. And that's the technique where the shame or the abuse in whatever form is done, and then you then blame the victim for their feelings, for voicing opposition, for seeking help. You turn it around and there's no accountability on the part of the perpetrator. So let's go back and let's talk about shame and what it looks like. One of my favorite authors, researchers, Brené Brown, has done everyone in this world a favor and cataloged her research and her findings in several books. And she's brought to the forefront, she and others, the field is filled with others, about just what is shame is, how it's entrenched, how we as parents or coaches, we learn this technique, we learn this way of verbally shaming, non-verbally shaming, and how then we carry that into our workplaces. And in the case, we carry it into coaching and the treatment of athletes, the world of youth sports, and how it's used.
Are you a law firm or an attorney who sees the value of having a child sexual practice in your area, but you understand the cost and resources to run a department can be expensive? Your answer? Outside Counsel Plan. For the cost of 1/3 of your hourly rates, you can have access to the training, client development, and trial skills of the law office of Judy Saunders. The Outside Counsel Plan provides unlimited monthly consults, skilled, compassionate interview assistance with children as young as 4 years old, signature services such as EBT, lead or co-counsel at hearings and trial, also provided at value-driven rates.
Brené Brown, the researcher who I just mentioned, who does her work out of the University of Houston, in February 17th of 2016, she described shame as an intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy in love and belonging. It is an emotion that affects all of us and profoundly shapes the way we interact in the world. When we use shame to try to produce results in these athletes, and I'm speaking to you now from the lens of practicing law and how I see it show up in individuals, in survivors, you will hear descriptions of the physical suffering And the law recognizes that physical suffering. And the law allows recovery for that physical suffering that's come about because a perpetrator has used the tool of shame to try to get performance, to force and demand action and results. The law recognizes the intentional infliction of emotional distress. The law also recognizes a cause of action or a claim or the ability to file a lawsuit for the negligent infliction of emotional distress. So I bring up the fact that the law recognizes this injury to say to parents, guardians, athletes, that if you are encountering, if you see acts that are shame, that fall under the definition intensely painful feelings, it's a believing that you're flawed, that these are recognized, that these are real feelings, that this is a crossing of the line that we speak about over and over again on this show. There is often the confusion, how do I know that this is not just what is needed to produce a tough athlete? How do I know that, oh, the coach is frustrated, the authority figure? Because this can apply to any authority figure. It doesn't just apply to coaches. It just so happens that we are dedicating this show to an athlete in a competitive sport. But this shame and this tool can be applied and used by any abusive authority figure. And it looks like this. It may look like this so that you can put it into some context when you see it or if you observe a coach doing this to your child. The authority figure is not correcting a skill. They're not correcting a move. They're not offering productive tips, ways, productive criticism, productive corrections. They're not focusing on the skill. They're focusing on the person. And they are using words to directly attack that person. You're so lazy. I can't stand you. You're so fat. If you weren't such a big pig, you could get over that bar. You would be able to run faster. That's an attack on the person. It is for the sole purpose of shaming. And that is a crossing of the line. That is a crossing of the line that the law recognizes. So you know when that happens. And beware of also when you see shamed quickly followed by some type of more productive correction, because that will leave you confused. Well, maybe the coach, maybe the teacher, maybe whomever, maybe they really didn't mean it like that because they did say you need to kick the ball with the outside of the foot, or you need to watch, or, you know, they were frustrated. The authority figure was frustrated. They've had enough of me. You may hear the survivor say, start to feel like that, but it is an attack on the person and it is a real injury. There's research that shows that the mind and the body does not distinguish between the physical, the pain brought on by shame, and the physical pain that may be, you know, felt is if you fall or hurt your arm or hurt your leg. It is the same. The body, the mind registers that as the same type of pain and same type of injury. And that's what we're speaking of, so that you know. And that you're very clear that when you see this tool, this technique being used by authority figures on your athlete, on your child, in fields of play, in gyms, that this is shame and it is unacceptable and the line has been crossed. And when you see that line has been crossed, that is a red flag and that is a warning that something, that a plan needs to be done to extract your child and your family away from that abusive coach. And to alert whomever it is. It may be an internal organization, it may be speaking with a legal representative, but someone needs to be alerted that your child and other children are susceptible to what is a recognized injury.
During the 30-day podcast launch period, we have a perfect offer for our early supporters. Child USA is a pioneer in the movement to end child abuse in all forms among competitive sports, child marriage, negligent, physical, sexual, trafficking, child exploitation. Child USA is staffed by experts, scientists, and professionals from many disciplines, all dedicated to educate, provide research, data, and resources to end abuse of children. Child USA, in their wisdom and expertise, created a curated specialized library, so you do not need to blindly research Google or other search engines for answers, help, and support. For a very limited time, when you do three things, subscribe to the Legally Brief podcast and rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, or other platform. Legally Brief will select one listener each month to receive free access to Child USA's curated library. This is a valuable offer only offered on this podcast for a limited time. You must leave your email information so we can reach you and give you access to relevant, eye-opening guides to many of your most perplexing problems.
So it bears out that there is data that shows how prolific the tool of shame is and used by authority figures and institutions in a perverse way to cover their inadequacies, the inadequacies, I mean, of the authority figure, and that that tool is then thrust and used against a young, vulnerable mind to produce these results, be it championships, be it wins, be it gold medals. And the result is a recognized injury. It's recognized by the law. And so what I want to do and to end this is to provide you, the parents, the supporters of athletes, with the pattern, with the warning signs. And the warning signs are these. You will see a behavior that you will recognize to be shame. You will see it, and it will come across, either if you are witnessing it or you are being told it through the athlete, through the child, it will very much sound like and be, it is a physical pain that is recognized. The next thing that needs to be done is that there has to be a validation of what the child is telling and speaking about, and there has to be support. And the next thing that a parent and supporter, be it a coach that is not abusive, and we need the voices of the not abusive, productive, supportive coaches that want nothing but for children and athletes to thrive and grow. We need their voices and their support, because we do not want to see situations where there's reporting made to, be it an internal body, be it to a governing body or an administration, and the allegations are not investigated, or there is mock investigations that go nowhere. For example, in the case of Ms. Choi, it's my understanding that she had reported the abuse to law enforcement and sports bodies. And the New York Times goes on to say that the investigation was slow, and that only now that this young lady is dead, that the Ministry of Sports, of Culture, Sports, and Tourism is now going to begin an investigation. This happens where the shame, which is an injury of itself and can also grow into the physical striking and hitting of the athlete. And at that point, the line had been crossed when the first injury, the psychological injury, the shame, the verbal abuse, that's when the line was crossed. The line is crossed again when it turns now into physical, which is a separate and new injury. And then when a reporting is made, say, to a national governing body, or in the case of maybe it's the commissioner of a local sports team, and that individual states, or they may lodge some type of investigation, but there's no results, there's no remedy for what's happened. Parents should know that you very much have the authority, and you have the option to go outside and to speak with, be it law enforcement, be it an outside legal counsel, but there are options. You don't just have to stay with whatever investigation that didn't yield any results. And we also don't want to leave other children, even if you, the parent, if you've managed to remove your child, we want to work and we want to think about ways to remove the abuse, remove the abusive individual, so that all children can have the opportunity to play, to practice, and to grow without abuse, without shame being used against them. So those are the bright line warning signs, some of the patterns of abuse, and this one tool in particular, shame, that is used frequently by abusive authority figures. And the abuse continues when you have an institution that does not investigate, that does not respond to the complaints of athletes, of parents. And those are the things that you have to be aware of. So again, we dedicate this show to Ms. Choi. We dedicate this show to the other athletes that are in the process, have not yet, or in the process of speaking out for their abuse. We support you. We hear you. We see your efforts. And we are working for the day where you can enter a gym, enter a field of play, and the only corrections will be offered productively to better your skills. And there will not be the harm that shame does and the injury that it does to the person, to the mind. That's what the day we're working for. And to that end, I would ask that anyone listening to this share this show so that we can continue to build this community, build this movement where we have abuse-free play. Thank you for taking this time to listen to the Legally Brief. Please don't forget to rate and review so others can find out about the show, and look forward to spending time with you again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Legally Brief podcast. Remember to join Judy and fellow listeners at the Legally Brief Facebook group. Contact Judy at judy@jsaunderslawfirm.com. Remember, there is no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children.
All information and content in this podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in this podcast shall constitute legal advice and shall not create an attorney-client relationship. This information is general and may not be applicable to your particular circumstances. You should review your particular circumstances with an attorney. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this podcast is hereby expressly disclaimed.